this acquisition for the museum.
It is. It must be a source of frustration. There are statues to all sorts of people. Is there one to Mary anywhere?
No, regrettably, there's not. I think she's probably deserves one.
Yeah, OK, well, we've started the campaign, or rather...
That's it.
We haven't, because we're completely straight down the line here at the BBC, but it might not be a bad idea, she said, tentatively. Thank you both very much indeed, David. Lovely to talk to you. And Christine, thank you for coming in this morning. And the Rent Strike Rattle and Christine's poem are part of that exhibition called 26 Treasures, which opens at the National Museum of Scotland in Edinburgh on Thursday of this week. And there are more details on the Woman's Hour website. And now, the drama this week is, of course, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, by Anne Bronte, dramatised for us by Rachel Joyce. Gentleman farmer Gilbert Markham has taken a shine to the mysterious new tenant, Helen Graham.
The new tenant of Wildfell Hall caused gossip in our neighbourhood from the moment she arrived.
Why does she live up there?
Who is her husband?
Who is the father of a child?
Where is she come from?
Why is she here?
Why is she so private?
Sometimes I saw her out on the hills with her son and a book in her hand. Sometimes she spoke with me, sometimes she didn't. The months passed and spring came.
Look, Mama, look!
Hello, little man.
I can balance on my leg, see?
So you can. You're painting, Mrs. Graham.
Well, I know that.
It's good. Will you send it to London to sell?
I'm sorry, Mr. Markham. I can't work when people watch me.
Can I have a ride on your horse, Mr. Markham?
No, Arthur.
Well, it's no trouble. You can work in peace, eh?
Please, Mama.
You mustn't go far. You mustn't be long.
Trust me. I'll look after him. Come on. Hey, one, two... Right. There we go. Sit up.
All the range. Arthur, you must say thank you to Mr. Markham.
I'll walk you home.
There's no need.
It's getting dark. You might get lost.
I can see Wildfell from here.
Do you not find it lonely?
Sometimes. But after everything else, I should be thankful.
Why? What happened?
Goodbye, Mr. Markham. Arthur, bedtime.
Come on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Markham.
I'd not proceeded many steps on my way homewards when I perceived the owner of the hall, Mr. Lawrence, coming towards me up the rugged lane.
Was that my new tenant?
Does it matter?
I thought you disliked her.
Well, I did. Now I don't. Are you going to visit?
Beautiful night.
Lawrence, are you in love with her?
I thought you were going to marry Eliza Millworth.
I've no intention of marrying Eliza. No intention of marrying Mrs. Graham either. Not that I'm aware of.
Then maybe you should leave them both alone.
Come on!
Despite my friend Mr. Lawrence's warning, I continue to visit.
10 o'clock.
Others continue to visit too, and to probe for the truth behind her mystery.
It amazes me how you can live out here, Mrs. Graham.
Oh, such a broken-down old house.
It suits me, Eliza. And I've started on the garden.
Oh, the crocuses look nice.
Thank you, Rose.
Trump! You got to watch the carts.
Well, I would go stark mad. Wouldn't you, Gilbert? You might sit at these windows all day and never see a soul.
I take no pleasure in watching people pass the windows. I like to be quiet.
Yeah. Was it quiet where you lived before?
With your husband?
It wasn't.
So what brought you to Wildfell? Did you know Mr. Lawrence when you were married?
Trump.
I didn't even see that.
Rose!
Yes?
You told me once about a sea view. If this weather continues, I'd like to walk there with my sketch pad.
It's too far to walk, Mrs. Graham.
My feet will do.
We should all go.
But
Rosie's right. We shall take our carriage and a picnic. Mr. Lawrence will complete our party.
Oh, match, yeah.
Poor Mrs. Graham looked dismayed, but they were determined to have her. I should add that Lawrence, on hearing she was of the party, declined to join. I have a very pleasant recollection of that walk along the white, sunny road adorned with blossoming hedges. Mrs. Graham and I walked all the way. Eliza rode in the carriage with Rose and the others. But I did not hate the trees for snatching her dear bonnet from my sight. To confess the truth, I was too happy in the company of Mrs. Graham to regret the absence of Eliza Millwood. At last, the sea lay below us. Mrs. Graham looked out with a gaze that assured me she was not disappointed. She had very fine eyes. I don't know if I've told you that. Full of soul and a very dark grey. Never had she looked so lovely.
Gilbert, the picnic is ready.
We were very merry that day. Little laughter escaped her lips in few words, but her smile alone made everything else more agreeable.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I will go and paint.
Lovely view.
Sorry?
Romantic. Where are you going, Gilbert?
Do you mind if I sit with you?
Where's Arthur?
He's with Rose.
Eliza isn't coming, is she?
Only me.
I'm glad. I'm tired of talking.
I won't talk. I'll just watch.
You know I don't like that.
Well, then I'll admire the view.
She sketched in silence. But I could not help stealing a glance now and then from the splendid view at our feet to the elegant white hand that held the pencil.
Are you still there? Why don't you go and play with your friends?
Like you, I'm tired of them.
Thank you for bringing me here.
We met several times after the excursion to the bay. She seemed not averse to my company, provided I confined my conversation to abstract topics. The moment I made the slightest approach to tenderness, I was not only punished by an immediate change in her manner, but doomed to find her more cold when I next sought her company. One June night, I walked a wildfell with my heart beating wildly.
There you go.
A puppy, for me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Markham.
Something for you. It's Marmion by Walter Scott. You said once you'd like to read it.
But it's new.
Yeah, I sent for it from London.
I'm sorry, I can't take it.
Why? It's a gift.
And accepting it would place me under an obligation that I can't repay. You've already been too kind to Arthur.
You won't take it?
Gladly, if you'll let me pay.
I told her the exact price and the cost of the carriage besides. I was ready to weep with disappointment.
You're offended again. If only you could understand...
Oh, no, I understand. You're afraid that if you accept the book, I shall expect more. But you're wrong. If you accept my gift, the generosity is all yours. I just want to be your friend.
You mean that?
Yes.
My friend?
Yes.
Then I'll take you at your word.
She placed her hand in mine. I had much difficulty to restrain from pressing it to my lips.
Markham! Lawrence?
Late hour to be visiting?
I could say the same for you.
Come on.
never see such art.
A few days later, my mother hosted another of her little parties. This time, Mrs. Graham was amongst the crowd, and so was Mr. Lawrence.
Would you not say they were perfect strangers?
I don't know what you mean, Eliza.
His horse is at Wildfell twice a week.
She's his tenant.
Oh, Gilbert, how can you be so naive? Have you never observed the resemblance?
What resemblance?
Between that child of hers and... Oh, psh, she's looking. Oh,
and who?
Mr. Lawrence. People are shocked to find her here.
There's no resemblance at all. It's just vicious gossip.
Oh, you're so stern these days, Gilbert. What have I done?
Drink your tea, Eliza. Don't be so foolish.
Did I not know Mrs. Graham? Had I not walked with her, talked with her? Was I not certain she was the most noble, the most adorable woman I'd ever beheld? If anyone was to blame, it was Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, Mr. Markham, I didn't see you.
Are you running away too?
Nothing wears me out like small talk. I don't know how they keep it up. I hate talking when there is nothing to be said.
Do you want me to leave you alone?
No. You're different.
My father always said a man should hope for no more than to walk honestly through the world.
Was he a farmer?
My mother thought I was capable of greater things.
And what about you? What do you think?
I find I enjoy the people I... My friends, as much in silence as in conversation.
I don't quite believe you, but if it were true, you would exactly suit me for a companion.
I'm all you wish, then, in other respects.
I saw a sudden brilliance in her eyes. How lovely she looked, with her face radiant. But instantly, a painful memory seemed to flash upon her. Her cheek paled.
No, I don't mean that.
Mrs. Graham.
Mr. Markham. I can't do with this. I like spending time with you. Your conversation pleases me more than anyone else's. But if you can't be content with me as a friend, a cold, plain friend, we must be strangers.
I am your friend. Of course I am. Why can't I be anything more? Is it because of some rash vow you've made in the past?
Something like that.
Why won't you tell me?
I must find Arthur.
What, you're not offended?
No.
We're still friends?
Of course.
I may see you again?
Yes.
When she was gone, the rest was all a blank or worse.
What's the matter? Did you hope to walk her home?
Leave me alone, Lawrence.
I must tell you that if you have designs in that quarter, you're wasting your time.
And I'll tell you what I think of your behaviour. Now, the whole village is talking. The person who suffers from your infatuation is her.
Get your hand off me.
You lying hypocrite.
I let him go. But I would not let him go again.
And part three of The Tenant of Wildfell Hall will be on Woman's Hour tomorrow. And if you'd like to hear that episode again, then you can tune in to Radio 4 at 7:45 this evening. This email from Alistair on siblings. I once heard it explained thus, he says. Suppose a man comes home and says to his wife, I love you. In fact, I love you so much. I'm going to get another new wife as well. This is what it sounds like to the firstborn when their parents announce a forthcoming sibling. And this from a listener who says, my two brothers and I managed the care of our mother with the wonderful help of an aunt and local authority carers. When she needed help at night, we drew up a rota where we shared staying overnight, i.e. two nights a week and every third Saturday, although we were all working full time. I cannot thank my brothers enough and, of course, their partners for being so supportive during this very difficult time. Communication is the key, says that listener. Thanks to everybody who's got in touch today. Jenny's here tomorrow and she's talking about jumpers.
Women's Hour is presented by Jane Garvey and produced by Vibeke Venema. In a couple of minutes, Saving Species reports from North Wales, where conservationists are worried about the causes of a steady decline in the brown hare. Saving Species after the news. Before that, here's Julian Warwick with details of Call Human Yours.
Diana, good morning. What can be done, what should be done for the young unemployed? More than one in five 16 to 24-year-olds is without a job. That's according to the most recent figures. In response, the government has announced a £1 billion youth contract, which the Deputy Prime Minister says will provide hope to thousands of young people. But as the Chancellor prepares to deliver what we know is going to be a bleak autumn statement in the Commons, what can be done that would make a difference? 03700 100 444, that's the phone number if you want to get in touch, or you can email via bbc.co.uk/radio4/you and yours, and we begin the debate at 4 minutes past midday.